VentureCast.
At Baker's, no matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in-store. So you can save when you order during band practice or at the dog park or wherever. Start your cart with the Baker's app and save from wherever today. Baker's, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Get more ways to save at the buy five or more, save $1 each sale. Just buy five or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Hello, and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show, featuring Jason Zook. In uncertain times, we must change our focus and priorities. This show will highlight social justice issues with the goal of expanding minds and increasing unity, love, and mutual respect for ourselves and our planet. We support the Black Lives Matter movement. Our show aspires to promote social spirituality, which simply means that by coming together, we can solve any of our problems, including the goal of bringing an end to all forms of hate, discrimination, bias, or oppression. We must protect our environment, reform our criminal justice system, and protect every citizen from police brutality. When we come together, it becomes possible to bridge the gaps that plague our society and divide us from within. We the people means everyone.
Hello and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show. This is Jason Zook. It's a great pleasure. I have a special guest, Devneet Kaur-Lal, to the show today, author, speaker, and consciousness expert. Devneet is an author, speaker, and consciousness effort. She's a discoverer of the law of unification, which empowers people to establish new creations for the world and a conscious life of purpose. She's an integrative thinker who has gathered diverse components of research using her visionary perspective to devise the formula of creation to unlock our highest potential. The law of unification is seen as a doorway to our greatest potential and expression of a meaningful life. Devneet inspires individuals to think in creative, innovative, and radical ways to develop new situations. She's dedicated to supporting individuals and accelerating their journey to fulfillment. She's the author of The Discoverer of the Law of Unification, a new formula of creation for geniuses, inventors, creators, and for those who are stuck in life. Devneet has a natural gift for connecting and inviting self-discovery. She spent the last two decades studying consciousness development and self-mastery. It's a great pleasure. I welcome Devneet to the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you so much for having me.
And it's a pleasure to have you today. I know you're coming from India. Can you tell the audience where in India you're at the moment?
Right. I am in New Delhi right now.
Well, welcome to the show. And I'm excited that you could come on and talk about such passionate topics as what we're about to discuss. And I want to ask you, how did you begin your spiritual journey? Like, what led you on your path?
I was very fond of spiritual texts and spiritual books since I was a child. So I had been reading those books and texts, and I had been practicing meditation techniques since I was a child. I was trying to balance all these things with my job, with my normal life. But then due to these experiences which happened, due to the awakening which I talk about, it actually led me to create this book, to create Mastering Creation using the Law of Unification. And these experiences were like quite profound because they kind of dissolved the person, dissolved the identity which was doing everything, which was doing, you know, spiritual practices and reading those books. So that dissolution happened in a moment, and it was like, it was totally empty at that moment. Just emptiness came in, this peace came in, this silence came in. And for a while, it was this dark period. I mean, it was dark, but it was peaceful. But then slowly, as the time moved on, the brightness started coming in and things started getting brighter. And these ideas started hitting me like with this strong force, and I had to work upon them. And due to these ideas, I had to create this law of unification, the formula of creation. And because of this, because of which I have written this book.
When you say the law of unification, I know our audience would be intrigued by that. What does that mean exactly? Because I know that's something we haven't heard before.
Right. And a law of unification, you know, these ideas were actually coming out of, I just call this the idea mind, the plane where these ideas come from. And I have to research about them. And there are so many books I had read, like mythologies, and there were so many holy texts, which talk about the formula of creation in different ways. There were motives which were found in ancient mythologies, which were telling about the formula of creation, the motives of the creator gods. And then there were these spiritual texts like Bhagavad Gita talking about this tree of life again, which was telling people to bring those, higher fruits to this world and, bring them through creation by creating new creations. Then also, even if we talk about Holy Bible, it also says like, you can bring those higher fruits, or you can create those higher creations by, following that path or following that that higher consciousness. And also the geniuses, the inventors, the innovators, whenever they create their new creations, they create those creations using the same formula. Their creations do not come from the, mind. They get those ideas from whenever their mind gets silenced for a while, maybe in visions, in dreams. And we have read about them in various, when they have discussed about their experiments, their innovations. We have read this in their papers, in their interviews, that their idea came through this vision when their mind relaxed through a dream, or maybe when they were not thinking. And then they used their mind to, give form to this idea and present it to the world. So law of unification is how we can unify the idea, mind, and mind and work together. So the mind and idea, mind can work together and bring in new creations into the world.
What I love about your explanation just now makes me think of personal experiences I've had with spiritual downloads of information. Like, I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I already have my one podcast, and I have another show that I'm starting with my best friend Megan called Psychic Visions. And I had that as a complete download, meaning that my best friend said, I think we should work on our own podcast. And then I meditated on it. I came up with the title and the intro, the outro, everything that I needed within a day. And I think that was part of a direct download. And I wanted to ask you, when you work with people, creative people and intellectuals, has anyone ever described to you the benefit of what I call a direct download, that sometimes being a creative person, you can tap into a higher consciousness more than yourself and be inspired? And it's like a muse, having a spiritual muse, somebody who gives you that ability to fill in the gaps, fill in the blanks when you come up with an idea that you want to make something come to fruition. And I wanted to ask if you've had any experiences with that for the law of unification, because it sounds like when you're unifying your idea mind and the regular mind, that there would be a download involved. And I wanted to ask you about that.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely correct on hitting this with this word download. And this is a download. So whenever we, reach out to this idea mind, we actually, when we are bringing it into the world, it's a kind of download. And idea mind is a link between the human mind and that higher levels of consciousness. So whenever higher levels of consciousness needs to provide an idea to human beings, it provides it using, the same, like we say, downloads, or we can use any word for this. It can be a subtle knowing, subtly, like, we know this is what we need to do, and then we start working upon that. And also, this idea, these downloads, they have this power to actually make those things work somehow, even if we do not know. There are some tendencies in us, there are some powers in us which we need to tap into. Then this idea or this download will actually kind of awaken that power, and we would be able to work upon that. We would be able to give form to that idea in any way, even if we were not doing the same thing earlier. Like, I talk about myself when I say I wrote this book, I had no idea how to write a book or anything. I'm not a professional author, so that was the time I had to do it somehow. It was like there was this force. If that download was coming in, there was this force along with it, which kind of forced me to do it, and I had to do it. Yes, those downloads, and for the creatives, for the artists, for anyone, if we talk about them, they do not get it from the mind, they get it from the idea mind. Because if I'm going to think about it, like, this is the idea I need to work upon, that may work, but it is going to, work upon the same lower level of consciousness. It will have its own limits, its own barriers, because it's coming from the mind, which has a limited capacity again. But if I talk about this idea mind, this original creativity, which is breaking all those limits, and then you are using that mind, that knowledge to give form to that idea. So that is where this higher consciousness is involved and true creativity comes from.
And just to help our audience understand the concept of idea mind, I studied metaphysics when I first became an intuitive a couple of years ago. So I delve into the higher mind and the conscious mind and our higher selves. And one of the things I'm just thinking of while you're talking about this is the best analogy I could say to our audience is if you live in a place where you have wireless internet and we deal with like the cloud and we deal with the physical, I would like to say that if you think of the higher mind, the higher self, it's like the cloud out there. It's all encompassing for the universe. It's like direct downloads of information that we could tap into that gives us the ability to be inspired and I'd say divinely guided in certain instances. And I wanted to see what your opinion was on that. Is that a good way of phrasing it? Or do you have another idea about describing it?
We can say that. That's a very good, how you phrase it. It's a very good example for the audience to understand it. To add on to this, yes, divine guidance. This is a kind of divine guidance. The idea mind is a kind of divine guidance. I also call this the inner guru, like the inner guide inside us who can, even provide us even just not about creativity. It doesn't only help us in, creating new creations, but it also helps us in making good decisions, like our life decisions, what we need to do in our lives. Nowadays, because there is so much information and data in the world, we just get confused what to do, what not to do, which path to take and which path not to take. So here is where the idea mind comes into picture. And idea mind is kind of, there is this individual dharma, our true life purpose. And the idea mind can provide us that individual dharma and connect us with that true life purpose so that we can fulfill it. And this true life purpose is kind of, it also helps us in making the decisions which will help us evolve or which will, help us walk that path of evolution. Because if our mind is going to choose or make decisions, then it's going to do all that analysis using that limited thinking, and it may look like it's doing what is correct, but in the long term, it may hamper or it may hinder our evolution. So yes, idea mind is kind of a, inner guide and the inner guru, the divine guidance which we get so that we can evolve our lives, or maybe we can help in the evolution of the planet by creating new creations.
What do you think is the biggest challenge for anyone in our audience trying to understand the law of unification? Like, how would you say to them, if there's anyone who wants to know this better, but they're challenged by it because they don't quite understand it, what would you say to help them grasp it?
I would say, law of unification, it's not actually very difficult, but the barrier can only be when we are a bit reluctant to actually accept that there is something which is guiding us, or there is a thing beyond mind. So a lot of people on our planet, there is this, kind of atheism, and people do not believe in these things. And they think that the mind is the right thing to make decisions. And there is nowadays, like, we are making these, artificial intelligence. When we talk about this artificial intelligence, this is also when it kind of make decisions for us. It's more like it comes from the human mind, the human data, the information that is collected in that intelligence. So yes, the barrier can be that when we are just kind of feeling stuck in that mind space and we do not want to, break those limits, break those beliefs which we have formed, that there is nothing outside that mind, there is nothing, our lives are, designed and they are very, very, mechanical. So that is because there is freedom, but that freedom is when we are, looking at our lives or looking at ourselves by being, above that mind, or being overcoming those lower levels of consciousness by overcoming the beliefs that were formed, which were kind of uninquired. So yeah, those are the barriers, uninquired beliefs and that limited thinking, or maybe that those patterns which we are unable to overcome.
A lot of people in my audience are aware of the concept of the law of attraction. And I know some of them are going to try to form some understanding of the law of unification based on their knowledge of something called the law of attraction. And I wanted to see if you could distinguish the two for audience so they don't improperly make that comparison.
Law of attraction is like when when we are trying to work with the lower levels of consciousness. So what we are doing here is, again, I'll explain a little bit of how the law of unification works first. So in law of unification, we are first rising above the lower levels of consciousness. So mind and then idea mind. So there are forces that do not let us connect to that idea mind. And the forces are like our unquiet beliefs, our unquiet desires, or maybe those desires which were formed because we were not conscious at that moment. Maybe we were just looking at something on social media and now we felt like we need that thing just because we are, you know, continuously feeding that information into our mind. So these kind of desires, these kind of beliefs, these kind of attachments, all these things are coming from the lower levels of consciousness. Now, when we have to overcome this, we connect with this idea mind, and then we bring those ideas from that higher level, like our true purpose, like our higher duty on this planet. And then we try to bring it down and use our mind to create new creations. But in law of attraction, what we are doing is there is just a desire. We do not know where the desire is coming from. We are not inquiring. We are not, you know, doing any kind of self-inquiry. If that desire we are trying to manifest, if this is going to, you know, provide us fulfillment in the long run. It can be we just look at something on television or in our environment and we just found like, I want this thing. I want to manifest it. And then we are trying to use this law of attraction to manifest it. It may work. It may work. And we may get that thing, but because it's not going to be our higher duty, because it's not our higher purpose or our higher desire, it's not going to provide us fulfillment in the long run. So yeah, this is the difference between law of unification and law of attraction.
What is evolving consciousness?
Yeah, evolving consciousness is like, if I talk about consciousness, I would say consciousness is always evolving. So if I call evolving consciousness, consciousness, higher consciousness, you know, these are the terms we use to describe consciousness. It can be energy. We can use another name for it. Some people call it God. So all these things are, you know, almost same. And we really cannot fit these things using these names. But evolving consciousness is like everything. If we talk about everything, non-living or living, everything is consciousness. And this consciousness is trying to evolve. And especially this is trying to evolve through human forms, because we have this capability, we have this mind provided to us. And if we can, you know, use it appropriately, and if we can actually work in cooperation with that higher consciousness, we can help in the evolution, not just for us, but also we can help in the evolution of the planet by creating new frameworks and new models. And also, we can see, like right now, if we see in our surroundings, in our environment, we have heard so many stories about, you know, people getting awakened and enlightened and getting aware about how things actually work. So this awareness, which is, you know, increasing, this heightened level of awareness, this is something which is happening because the consciousness is evolving. More evolved the consciousness, higher the level of awareness we'll have. And just because this is happening, now we also require those new frameworks and models which can actually hold that new consciousness, or you can say in which that new consciousness can, you know, just sit in and be there. So if we do not talk about, if we do not, you know, if we try to just stick around to those old models, those old frameworks, this new consciousness, which is evolving, will act. I say that if it has to evolve, it's gonna evolve. It will actually, you know, disrupt things and maybe forcefully it will, like it has to happen. The evolution, we cannot stop the evolution in anything. So even if we talk about the material evolution, if we talk about the spiritual evolution, it keeps on going. We can either consciously choose to be a part of that evolution, or we can just, you know, keep on sleepwalking and let that thing, you know, drag us along and kind of that. So if we can be conscious creators in that, it also decreases our suffering because we are partners now, like we are co-creators with that, or we are evolving with the consciousness. But if we are, you know, kind of struggling to or fighting that thing, then there are so many problems which happen in this world because of this struggle which people like try to do with this evolving consciousness.
You know, I love the way that you say that when you put that in your answer just now, evolution of consciousness, in the sense that our spirituality has evolution to it as well. And that's a pretty powerful idea when you think about it, because not only do we evolve with our own consciousness and our own spiritual roots throughout our lifetime, right? If you, for example, are grieving somebody, I work with clients who grieve their parents or their loved one or whoever passed away with different things. And one of the things I hear them say to me as I work with people is, I became spiritual after I lost my loved one, because my loved one went somewhere else and I never thought about another place, but now they're gone, but I still feel them. And I think a spiritual awakening is a form of evolving your consciousness, evolving your spirituality, right? Because a lot of people, like when my grandfather passed away in 2004, I never thought I'd be doing this stuff today. I was a lawyer at the time. I didn't have any intuitive abilities, but I evolved myself. And I wanted to ask you, based on the law of unification, do you think spiritual awakening, someone experiencing it and growing in their own spiritual path and becoming balanced between all these things, just not mind, body, but mind, body, spirit. Do you think all those come together because we evolve through the law of unification within ourselves as life changes us with like loss of a loved one or some pandemic or some traumatizing experience? I want to ask you about that. Do you think that that's one of the other ways that the law of unification applies to our lives?
Traumatizing experiences, definitely, you know, they evolve us. They are meant to do that. And that is the reason they are here. All these experiences, whenever we suffer pain, there is no reason we suffer pain. I mean, it just needs us to become conscious of what actually is here. So we cannot see it. You know what happens when we are happy? We are just not bothered about anything. It's like we're just happy in our own life. Now, what do we need? We are not going to even do those practices. We are not going to study what is beyond this life. Happiness is also kind of a drug, you know?
The endorphins are a drug the body. Makes you happy. It makes you...
Exactly. So we are kind of sleeping when we are happy. We even get into those deeper levels of sleep when we are happy. So whenever this pain strikes us, it's like a slap from the universe to wake us, that we can wake up and we can see what is beyond this. We just can't lie down and do nothing here and have fun all the time. There is so many things we are here for, and we actually have to do that. So those experiences, definitely. But they are going to work for us only if we are going to take advantage of those experiences, like even the bad experiences. So if a bad experience happens in our life and we are not learning the lesson, and we are not learning from it, using it to for our evolution, it's not going to help us. And then it can come again in another form. So because ultimately we have to evolve. So it's going to repeat itself. Those patterns are going to repeat. So it's better for us to be more aware and to see when something like this comes in our life and recognize this pain as a doorway to, reach that destination, to reach that truth. And so that then once we experience that, truth, that when we reach that destination, after that, that pain and that happiness, it kind of becomes the similar kind of thing. It does not really bother us. Like then it becomes like the pain and the happiness. It's like changing seasons in our lives, because now we know the truth. Now we know what we actually are and what we are here for.
If somebody would have told me 4 years ago how much pain I would experience in 4 years, between personal pain, having cancer, going through setbacks, and then the pandemic and all these other things, I would have laughed at them and said, I'm not signing up for that. I will say that the law of unification sounds like it's got a lot of traction to it, for me at least, because one of the things I do to get through my own mental health issues, because I feel like the whole planet has had to deal with their own mental health torment with being in a lot or dealing with loss or whatever it is I create things. I'll create memes for my Instagram account. I'll create ideas for my podcast. I meet amazing people like you who could come on the show and share these amazing, like these incredible ideas with our audience. Like, I use creation myself as a means of my own therapy. When I feel down, when I feel like I don't have purpose, when I, those kind of things. Creating has actually helped me bridge my own gap between my conscious mind, where I toil and I worry and I have all those things, to the spiritual, where I'm like, I want to be a part of something bigger beyond myself. I want to be beyond right now, because the world doesn't stop turning. We don't stop living. Just because we have challenges in our lives, we got to use things like creation to help grow and evolve. And I wanted to say, based on your book, and I wanted to talk about this, Mastering Creation Using the Law of Unification, is it your idea that basically we have opportunities that come in our life and that creation is something that we can use to help raise our vibration, so to speak, to get more in tune with ourselves and to master our higher self and our higher consciousness?
It can happen both ways. It can be like we can evolve and then we can create, or it can be like we can create and evolve, like we can evolve through creation, through the process of creation. So it can happen both ways. It can happen like first a person gets, like spiritually a person gets evolved, and then the person is bringing in these new creations into the world, or the person simply gets in touch with that creativity and bringing these new creations, and through these creations, you know, helping the planet, helping other people to spiritually evolve. So both ways it can happen. Law of unification is something that does not negate the material, and neither it does negate, you know, the spiritual. It kind of is it takes both the things together, like the spiritual too and the material too. So it's not like if you are spiritual, you can just sit the whole day. Now I'm not bothered about anything. Now let anything happen in the world. Yeah. So like getting into that idea mind and not coming back, like everything is happening, let it happen. No. So once we get into that idea mind, we need to take advantage of that opportunity. Like now we are in connection with that spirituality, that higher spiritual world. Now we can bring in those new spiritually evolved creations into this world and help other people, help others grow in their lives, evolve in their lives. And so law of unification brings in both the material and, you know, the best of the material and the spiritual world into this picture.
Let's talk about your book. I want to have you share your book, Mastering Creation Using the Law of Unification, with our audience. And one of the things I want to ask you is, if you could explain to our audience about the levels of consciousness and how it works within the law of unification.
When we talk about these levels of consciousness, it's mostly like how aware we are in our lives. So let's say if we are working on this lower level of consciousness, it means that we are not just aware of what is happening around us. Maybe if we are going through our lives, let us say there is some influence in my environment and I'm just picking it up, but I do not know. I'm not conscious about where this influence is coming from. Now, that influence is making these habit patterns in my life, these beliefs in my life. But again, I do not know. I'm just not conscious. So that means I'm working on a very low level of consciousness. And I cannot just discriminate between those, you know, those ideas or those forces that are coming from that lower level of consciousness just because I'm not aware. Now, when the awareness increases, when we develop this heightened level of awareness, we become conscious, we become more, we just start working on this higher levels of consciousness. And we start to see like this something, this desire is coming from this. These are the lower levels, like when we are less aware. And when we talk about these higher levels are, it's more about, you know, when we get in touch with those higher levels of consciousness, our desires, it's not about fulfilling our desires. It becomes a part of our life to fulfill the highest duty. It's more like to fulfill the highest duty that can actually help us in creating evolving planet or, you know, the lives of others. So we do not think about those small things. Like, this is a beautiful verse. Again, I have shared this many times. It's from Bhagavad Gita. Like, it's better to strive in one's own dharma than to succeed in following another person's dharma. Nothing is lost in following in our own dharma. And that is, the dharma is like our highest duty here in this world. So it's not that we are looking to, you know, succeed in life. It's just that we are looking to fulfilling our purpose in this life. And that is what is really important. And law of unification also talks about connecting with these higher duties. So because only if we can, you know, raise above these lower levels of consciousness or lower desires, we would be able to work like creators. We can get this detachment from those lower desires, and we can help people create those higher creations, or we can create those higher creations.
When you say creator, one of the things I think of as intriguing to me is digital creators, people who are influencers, people who are online, that they create their own material and their own concepts and share ideas. And I wanted to see, in terms of the law unification, how would that apply to our modern age with digital creators trying to use their ideas to help sway, influence, and gain awareness through their craft?
You said this about creators, the digital creators. I think the best word we can use for them is influencers instead of creators, because obviously they try to influence us. And if we will read Mastering Creation Using the Law of Unification, these outer influences, which are coming from the environment, they may come from lower levels of consciousness, and we do not know that. Creators are something we cannot. So according to Mastering Creation, I would not say like digital creators are creators in terms of Mastering Creation. So Mastering Creation has a different definition for creators. So according to Mastering Creation Using Law of Unification, creators are people who actually try to challenge the old conditioning, and they follow their individual dharma. They follow their highest duty, higher purpose, and they serve others. Their biggest work on this planet is a kind of service to maybe to the higher consciousness, maybe to the planet, and to whatever has created those creators. And creators necessarily do not have to be, you know, their work, maybe they are not known, maybe they are just, you know, working from a home, from a place which is very isolated, but in a way they are serving the higher consciousness, serving, you know, society, serving people. So it's not important that they need to succeed. It's not important that they need to be recognized in the world. What is important is if they are following their highest duty, if they are following their individual dharma or not, if they are serving others or not. And when I talk about creators, Teresa, you know, so Mother Teresa actually had this beautifully, she started this serving other people, and her purpose of life was just service to others. And it created this huge waves, huge influence in the world. And she was not doing anything. She was not doing it for success, for money, for anything. She was just doing what she has to do. Like, I guess she also had this higher influence. She talked about it in many, you know, maybe books. And so these kind of people are creators. Those, if you talk about digital creators and, you know, who work for how many views we are getting on YouTube and how many things we are. So it's not wrong. That's what they are doing. But yeah, we cannot call that they, according to Mastering Creation, they are not creators.
Okay. That's just something I'd like to bring up, because I've interacted with several influencers, and part of what I see that some of them do is they try to spread higher ideas themselves and spiritual stuff. So it was just something that intrigues me about it. I want to ask you this. You mentioned in your book, you talk about the archetype of the tree of life in reference to the theory of creation. And I wanted to see if you could share that with our audience about how the tree of life as an archetype fits within the theory of creation.
Yes, a tree of life is, again, it's like it represents the creators itself. And as a tree brings fruits to this world, similarly, creators bring the new creations into this world. And the best part of tree of life is that when the tree bears fruit, it just bears it and it just provides it to people to eat. And similarly, creators, when they bring their creations into the world, they are not bothered, or they do not get attached to their creations. Because once they get attached to their fruits, they're not going to get in touch with the idea mind again, where these ideas come from. So it's like the creations are the fruits, then this tree is the creator. And the best thing we can do is remain detached with our creations that we create. I was discussing in this another interview, and there was this beautiful example there that there are so many people nowadays, and they get involved, like if they are involved in spiritual practices, or, you know, we are all trying to, this people who are spiritual, they say like we are trying to help people around. And but in a way they get attached to their spiritual practices. Sometimes it happens to a lot of us. It happens. There is this identification that happens. Like even earlier to my experience, to my awakening experience, I had this attachment with these spiritual practices as well, until that dissolution came in. And when that happened, everything just went away. The practices stopped working. So yes, this attachment to creations, to fruits, to our practices or anything is what creators take care of, and they do not get attached to that. Because once they do get attached, they are kind of, you know, hindering their own journey. Because if it may be that the next step I have to take, I may have to take another practice, you know, or to reach that truth, to reach that place or to reach that destination. So we have to keep our minds open, and we actually have to keep creating and then keep detaching ourselves from that and get into the idea mind again and bring that new fruit again for the people and for the world.
What is Dharma, and why is it something that we need to pay attention to when it comes to the law of unification?
Yes, dharma, again, like I was using this word, individual dharma. And so dharma, in our life, we have heard this word a lot of times, especially in India. You know, in India, dharma means, if we talk about in casual language, it's very famous as the meaning of the word is very famous as religion. But in true sense, it's not the religion. Dharma is like the highest duty, our highest purpose here in this world. So individual dharma, when we follow our individual dharma, we in turn also kind of affect the absolute dharma of the world, of the universe, so that it can be, you know, fulfilled. So that's our highest duty, to fulfill our individual dharma.
Would you consider it a calling that we have our individual dharma? It calls us to be a higher version of ourselves? Without ascribing to religious principles, because I know it's something that's higher than just religious principles itself.
Right, definitely. So it's not about just principles. Dharma is not about just principles, because it's individual dharma. So we cannot have the same principles and rules for everyone. Every person has an individual dharma. Every person can have different steps to follow in his lives to actually fulfill that individual dharma. So I cannot say that there are rules or, you know, regulations which we need to follow so that we can fulfill our individual dharma. Although our religious texts, a lot of times they have these rules and regulations, but it may not apply to all of us. We may have to, you know, see what works for us, what is actually helping us evolve. And the purpose of following the individual dharma is to reach that fulfillment and the evolution. Because we cannot feel fulfilled until we are following that. If I talk about myself, I was working in a job earlier, and then this thing came, this awakening happened. So I had this interest in those, in spiritual text and books, but I never thought that I'm going to, you know, talk about it or maybe write a book about it. I was just kind of balancing it with my job, and I was like okay with that. And maybe it had to happen, and I was also, you know, kind of reluctant to follow that. I had interest in that, but I never followed that, just because maybe we are, you know, we are told in our lives that this is how we live our life.
It's like putting blinders on, right? So you put the blinders on, the spiritual blinders, and
exactly,
you focus on the
material. Right. That's absolutely right. And that is what I was doing as well. And until this thing happened, this experience happened, and then this true purpose came in. And that's true that it brings in fulfillment. Like, it brings in a different kind of joy when we are following our true purpose. So your life may be okay while doing something something which is based upon the lower levels of consciousness. But that fulfillment, that joy can only come from following that higher duty, that individual dharma, that purpose.
One of the things I really like, and I'm going to nerd out for a minute, is in your book, you actually define in a succinct way the law of unification. And I wanted to read this into the audience just to get your reaction on it, because a lot of them don't have the book in front of them. And it says as follows: the law of unification, followed by the creator gods and deities and the geniuses, can be stated as follows. When the powers of the plane of the mind overcome the forces of the lower levels of consciousness and work in cooperation with the powers of the plane of the idea mind, it results in the unification of both the planes and thus causes evolution and creation of the new. And I wanted to see if you can just reflect on that for our audience. So I, you know, a lot of times when I read books, I'll come across such a clear explanation. And as a lawyer, we call it the black letter law. But I think you really succinctly defined the law of unification there. I want to just see if you have any reflection on that for our audience.
A lot of time we also need this, you know, this explanation about things, because these formulas are deep and these definitions are deep as well. And I remember giving, you know, this person just came to me, like approached me and told me that the book was like really, really deep. And there were a lot of things he wanted to know about it, like kind of, you know, someone to really make that person understand what that actually is. And we need that, because when these things are deep, we really need to elaborate on that. So law of unification, yes. When we talk about this idea mind, and when we talk about the mind, there are these powers, the power of the idea mind, and then there is this power of the mind. Power of the idea mind is like the power of provision and the power of wisdom. And when we talk about the powers of the mind, this is power of expression and then the power of knowledge. So when we are unifying the powers of the mind, what we are doing here is the knowledge is backed up by the wisdom, and the expression is backed up by the provision. So whenever we have to express something in the world, we need some idea which we need to express. And here that idea comes from the idea mind, and that expression comes from the mind, because mind knows how this material world operates, the language of the material world, the knowledge of the material world. And when these two combine together, they can bring in those creations in those form of beautiful expressions. And similarly, the knowledge and the wisdom, because again, although the mind has the knowledge, the mind does not really know what path to take or what path to follow, how decisions need to be made in life. Knowledge cannot just make those right choices about evolution or creation. So here, the wisdom provides, when the power of wisdom of idea mind combines with the power of knowledge of the mind, it helps in providing us good decisions, and it helps us in giving us those ideas which can help our lives to evolve. And it can be, we can apply it in, you know, our lives in any way. It can be used in our relationships in life, how to, you know, work through our, if there is a relationship. It can be in our work, in our how we are living in a society as a person, as a citizen in our country, and how to solve, you know, complex problems of today's society. So all these things. So when the power of knowledge combines with the powers of the mind, this results in the evolution and the creation of the new creations. Also, how this is happening is, the first step here is to rise above the forces of the lower levels of consciousness, because that is important. Now, if we are, you know, stuck in those beliefs, those desires, those attachments which are coming from lower levels of consciousness, we'll not be able to use the powers of this idea mind in combination with the mind. So what will happen here is the mind will keep involved in those lower levels of consciousness, and it will try to struggle the ideas which will come from those higher levels, kind of maybe fight those ideas, because it thinks that that limited domain of its knowledge is sufficient, and those beliefs which are formed are sufficient, those desires are sufficient. So it will not be able to unify with that idea mind. So unification needs to happen only, and it can only happen by rising above those forces.
How do you view attachments and how they can threaten our ability to evolve our consciousness? What role do you think attachments serve as a distraction or as a detractor in our lives and our journey?
Right. So attachments here, when we talk about attachments coming from these lower levels of consciousness, they are mostly developed due to habits which are formed in our lives. Again, we were not aware, we formed certain habits, and because of those habits, we just cannot, you know, leave those attachments. It can be to anything, it can be to things, it can be to, we just cannot leave that old thing, because we are just habitual, we are just in a form of using it, seeing it, and we cannot move on to the new thing. Or it can be our dependency upon the way we live our lives, the way we work, the way we do any kind of stuff in this world. So again, now this dependency, this attachment is formed to this way of living because of this dependency, and we are unable to reach out to those new things which are coming in, new ideas which are coming in. And security, again, this is again, which causes us to attach to a lot of things which may be not good for our evolution, and maybe we have to leave these things. So when, you know, when we feel secure in this world, it can be, again, anything in a relationship, in a home, in a place, and we cannot change it, even though we know it is not helping us evolve, even though we know it is kind of, it's not helping us in our life, and we are kind of stuck, and we do not do that. We do not, and those ideas are coming in, our life purpose is showing up, but we do not leave that because we are secure there. As I talk about, as I give my example, the same thing, I was secure in my job, I was okay with that, but I was not able to, you know, leave that because of these attachments there. So all these things, they come from these lower levels of consciousness, and the attachments are like a major force here of these lower levels of consciousness.
And I think what's at least looking at this is by ascending, right? Looking at things from the larger point of view, you grow, you evolve, and you can then detach from lower level thinking that can restrict you. And you have the ability to kind of look at the all, the gestalt. That's one of my viewpoints.
That yes, we can this is everything. True. You know, this is very true that when we are actually there in that, you know, amidst those things, it's very difficult for us to realize that right now I'm saying all these things so easily because I have actually experienced it. Before I had experienced it, I was not aware about these things. So this awareness also comes in with that kind of experiences, or maybe when we try to increase our awareness using those practices. So yes, this is true.
I love it. I know we're running low on time, but I have to ask you, in terms of your book, Mastering Creation Using the Law of Unification, if you were to share one detail from this book with our audience that you haven't shared publicly before, what would it be and why?
Okay. I haven't shared this. Mastering Creation is actually, I have, you know, when we start this book in the beginning, I have dedicated this book. It's written there that the book is dedicated to the guru and the creators. So now when I talk about again guru here, so if someone asks me who is the guru here, so it definitely is, I always point to, you know, the guru inside us, the idea mind, that is the, you know, guru here. Because we can meet several people in this world, we can read several books in this world, but the thing that will actually make us, you know, help us to walk that path of truth and to reach that destination is that guru that is inside us, that idea mind, the inner guide inside us.
I believe heavily in that, because I will tell you that my inner higher mind guides me every day through navigating various obstacles. And even within ourselves, we have obstacles. We don't always talk about it openly, but when you have like a negative thought or you have doubt or insecurity, those are hindrances that can affect and impact us. And I believe that when you evolve your mind and you look at your idea mind, it can help you overcome those negative thoughts, those insecurities, the lack of willpower, whatever it is. And I think what you're doing with your book is amazing, because you're giving us an opportunity to organize our thoughts and our way of thinking about the world spiritually and in the physical sense. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing your ideas with us, because it's so important that we have a full balancing and sharing of these concepts so that we can educate ourselves and help humanity overcome its greatest obstacles. And I want to ask you this, since we're low on time, how would our audience get in touch with you?
Yes, so listeners can get in touch with me on my website, vipneetkarlal.com. And if they are interested in, you know, getting a copy of the book, they can also find the, you know, order the book button on the website. And there we have all the links to the retailers where they can have the book.
I want to ask you this. If you were a spirit animal, which spirit animal would you be and why? And I can go first. I'll say owl. I always say that. I have two parrots and I love birds, and owls are about wisdom. And on my own personal journey the last 15 years, I've been about a quest for wisdom, and I know you are as well. And you even bring up wisdom in your book. That's my spirit animal. So
Oh, that's nice. I know there are a lot of these guides which talk about spiritual animals and spirit animals, and they have certain meanings to them. I have never read them, to be very honest. So I really do not know like which spirit animal depicts what. So I do not know how I'm gonna.
I'll let you ad lib a little. Yeah? If you have an animal you like, I'll let you ad lib. I've had guests come up with all
okay.
unique names.
Dolphin. Animals. So I like rabbits.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Do they mean something?
Rabbits have a lot of connotation based on what you attribute to them. But spiritually, I would think a rabbit's a good animal for you because they're very agile and they're reflective. And I feel like they can be fluid. I think that's good for you with the law of unification. I think rabbit is a great representation. You picked it for a reason. So.
Oh, all right. That's great.
Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
I don't know. So there was a time if you would have you know asked this question a few years ago when I did not have this experience, I would definitely have answered like, how do I see myself 5 years ago? But right now, I really do not know. I cannot see that thing like what I'm doing in the future. It's mostly like things are just coming up and I'm doing them. It's like the next step comes in and I just follow that. So I'm kind of, you know, I cannot plan. It's more like a very, the life is more in like flow. It just comes in and I have to do it. When I wake up in the morning, I cannot, it's very light. It's very freeing also because it's your mind just, it's more like when the person, you know, gets dissolved, the person cannot control the mind and the person is someone who actually plans the life. But when the person is not there, this energy or this consciousness is doing something and everything. And I do not know what it's going to do after 5 years.
I see you doing more books. I see you working on courses that you teach this stuff. And I also see you partnering with others in this field that you're going to work with other people who help flush out not just the law of unification. You're going to have other things that go beyond the law of unification. The concept that you brought up in your book and the higher chapters towards the end of your book, you're going to embrace those more and explain them in further detail in additional works that you do in the future. So I see you as a prolific author, educator, spiritual guide, teacher, guru in your own right. And I think you're going to work with women and help them become more spiritual. And I wouldn't be surprised if I don't have you back on the show when your other books come out. So that's where I'm coming from. I want to let you know that's what I see. I see success. I just pick up stuff and I integrate into my interviews, my intuitive guidance, so to speak. And as I was looking at your energy, I wanted to ask you that question to see if you're aware of the stuff coming up, because I could see great things coming up for you. And I'm excited to have you on the show today, because I'd be curious to see what other books you come up with and what other things you create as you embrace on your own journey, because you have a lot of things coming up. So that's where I would answer that question if I was able to do so on your part.
Oh my God, this is so good, Jason, because, you know, even if we get this awakening, but there are special gifts which are only provided to certain people like you are given this gift where you can. Yeah, definitely. Even it's not necessary that, you know, people get awakened, and but these gifts are just given to certain people who can actually.
What do you do when you got a gift? You share it.
True. That's true. And that is what you are doing. You are, you know, you are doing it through podcasts, creating awareness, and you are, you know, sharing it with other people. And that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Well, I think what's beautiful is that I can meet someone like you, bring you on the show, have you share your book from the other side of the world. We're on the spinning globe in the middle of the universe right now. You're in New Delhi, India. And what time of day is it by you right now? Just out of curiosity.
It's 6:34 p.m. It's evening.
6:34 p.m. in the evening, and it's 9 o'clock here in Tampa. So look, we're on the spinning globe in the middle of the universe.
With trillions and
billions of planets and life forms, and we get to do this morning and evening and educate our audience and share the love of knowledge. And I can't tell you that this is my passion. This is why I breathe. This is why I exist, is to have someone like you come on the show, share your information with our audience, and really get into the topics so that we can have this higher level of spiritual discussion, which I'm very passionate about. And I just really thank you for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Jason. It was a true pleasure to meet a person like you.
I'm just gonna say that for me, the same thing. It's every guest that comes on, I learn from, and you've taught me a lot in our conversation today. And I'm inspired by you. I love when people follow their passion, follow their purpose, and make it their owning. They make it their own. Right. And that's what I think you're doing. And I support you 100% everything you're doing right now.
It was such a pleasure to be here.
I just want to thank Devneet Kaur for coming on the show today. It's great to have fellow consciousness experts and spiritual people come on the show, thought leaders, people who really have an impact and want to make a difference in our world by educating our society about things like consciousness and spirituality. And I just think it's so important to have these kind of conversations on our show. It's such a great thing when you can utilize and have these mediums where we could, you know, we could talk through Zoom. A Zoom call could share these ideas and these topics. It's just pivotal. So check out this information. Check out Devneet Kaur. I'm going to have all the information in our show notes and look into the law of unification, because I really do think it's something that we need to take into consideration and appreciate. So mastering creation using the law of unification, it's going to be in the show notes. And I really look forward to having Devneet on the show in the future. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. One of the things I'll say is ponder these ideas. Don't just listen to them. Think about them. Reflect on them. As you hear these episodes, think to yourself, how would the law of unification apply to my life? What ideas can I do in my own conscious mind, in my own idea mind? How do I understand these concepts and how can I apply them in my own life to not only give me the ability to be aware of higher levels of consciousness, but how can such help me grow and evolve on my own individual level? I will say this, the last few years has helped me shape where I am today. And sometimes you got to get outside your comfort zone to do that. And with everything that we've experienced as a society and as a planet since March of 2020, if anything, you're being called, each of you are being called to master your own creation. So keep all that in mind. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay positive, because when you're positive, anything's possible.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Social Psychic Radio Show. Don't forget to join us for another episode next time. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review on iTunes. You can also check us out on Facebook, and don't forget to visit the Social Psychic YouTube channel. Until next time, it's a big world out there. Keep an open mind, embrace your paradigms, and know that the universe is always yours to explore.
With the Baker's Plus card, it's easy to get lower than low prices. For the win! Earn fuel points on every purchase and save up to $1 a gallon at the pump. The Baker's Plus card. All you do is win. Big, big savings. Sign up now at bakersplus.com and start saving. Baker's. Fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your favorites with the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Simply buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with your card. Bakers, fresh for everyone.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, The Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electricast.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electricast.